I want the rather to tell you for a little while, I know the time has gone quite considerably, through the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, and in the 14th chapter, verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. And that's one of the lovely simple accounts. Several times we have these accounts of Caleb coming into his inheritance. And you know, beloved, this Caleb was one of the great men of Israel. If I had the time, I don't want to use it up needlessly, so perhaps you will follow it through yourself. You would be able to read throughout the rest of this book of Joshua in certain places, and on into the book of Judges, the terrible failure of the children of Israel to possess their possessions. They failed miserably. God brought them into the promised land through Joshua, and you know, of course, that Joshua is the old Hebrew name Jesus. He He brought them into the promised land, brought them over Jordan, brought them in, and did everything that was right and proper. And as we read in the scriptures, he took the land. We could read it ourselves. But having taken it, it was up to these people to possess their possessions. Individually, what the Lord Jesus had won for us, we have to possess ourselves. Very, very clearly. Now, this man Caleb, he saw this Mount Hebron. He saw this place. And it was a lovely place. You may know, or you may not know, that it was here that they gathered the grapes. When they came into the promised land, you remember, they came to the brook Eshcol. Hebron means a ford or a company. And they came into this land, and into the south land. You may read yourself in the book of Numbers, and they found this wonderful cluster of grapes. And Eshcol means a cluster. It means a cluster or a grape, or a bunch of grapes. And they, you know the famous story, how that they put this on a pole and carried it between two men and took it back. And from that time, it's as clear as anything. Old Caleb, he set his heart on that. Praise God. Now, it's not the easiest thing to do, because you see, this whole country, including the valley, in which of course the vines would have grown, they grew up the valleys, not the sides and slopes, so I understand. Best, I don't know whether it's right or not, but this is what I've been given to understand. And this valley was possessed by the sons of the giants. They were giants here. And you see, they knew the best places. They wanted the land that produced the grapes. They wanted the fertile country. They wanted that. See, but Caleb, he set his heart on that. Praise the name of the Lord. And by the time he got there, he was an old man. 85. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. 85. And he got his heart set on that, beloved. Nothing was going to turn him off it. Nothing and no one. He did not care tuppence. And yet he had no real help, you know. He had no real help. Because if you read on, say in these times when people were beginning to possess their possessions, as they should have done, you'll find, just turn with me to Judges, because this is a continuous story. In the book of Judges, you'll find this, that after the death of Joshua, verse 1, chapter 1, it came to pass the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah, listen, he said, "Oh, but I can't go up without some help. Simeon, you come up with me. You help me, and I'll help you." Now, this was the kind of background, this was the whole atmosphere, beloved, in which it was working, in which Caleb moved to do his great work. You see? while they were all calling on other people, while others were sort of, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it, I must have some help. Here was this man, Caleb, and he said, Lord, I can do it. What a glorious thing this is, beloved. If you read the terrible story, which I advise you to do, because it's in this background that you get seeing that Caleb was of the tribe of Judah, you'll find in verse 12 that there's a reference to him again in this same chapter. Chapter 1 of Judges. There's a reference to Caleb. Whilst Judah's getting Simon, old Caleb, he's saying, praise the name of the Lord. He simply goes up with just his family, that's all, and he sets his sights on the mount, praise God, and he sees the giants, and he says, it's all over. Now that's so far as Caleb is concerned. You do understand, beloved, don't you, what the real thing was. You understand what it was all about, don't you? If you turn back to the book of Numbers, you'll get it very clearly. In the 13th chapter of Numbers, you have the men sent out to spy the land. In the 14th chapter, you have it opening that all the congregation lifts up their voice and weeps. Because of these giants, the last verse of chapter 13, you see, we saw the giants, the son of Anak, you see, which come of the giants. In our own sight, we were as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. We saw the giants, yeah. Oh, Caleb did. Caleb saw their giants, saw the giants too. And he chose the exact spot where these Anakims live. He chose the exact spot. He set his heart. There he saw that place where the biggest opposition was. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, beloved. You see that, don't you? And all the congregation lifts up their voice and weeps, and you ought to read this yourself, but I can't spend all the time on it now. You'll find in verse 6, Joshua, who was a pal of Caleb's, who later became the leader, are following Moses. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. Amen. And give it us. Amen. Give it to us, you see. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. They're bread for us, which gets strong by eating them. That's the way. They're bread for us. Their defense. You will find that that's the word shadow. Their shadow is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Why? They hadn't even got a shadow. There's no substance about them at all. Only substance can produce shadow. Now they're gone. This is the way they looked at it, beloved. You see, you will remember that Caleb said, I brought back word as it was in my heart. You see, beloved, we see everything through our hearts. We see from the heart. That's where we see from. Two men, Joshua and Caleb, saw nothing to worry about. All they saw was a nice bunch of grapes. That's right. And a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what they saw. This was the substance of the promise that God had given them. These were the things they were to possess. Giants or grasshoppers or whoever or what they were made no difference to them. And my beloved friends, brothers and sisters, this is the truth. You see things through your heart. So do I. Yeah. Let's have a look a little lower down. Because the Lord is speaking, and Moses has got really concerned about this, and he's praying to God, and he asks God to pardon the people for their sin. In verse 19 he says, pardon, I beseech thee, 14:19, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now this is God's intention, you see. It isn't only Isaiah who has to prophesy this. The Lord always said it to Moses. This is what he's going to do. This is his intention, beloved, in everything that he does in our lives. The earth should be full of the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But, now listen, my servant Caleb, here's your reason, because he had another spirit with him. There it is, that's his secret. And has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. Now don't forget, the Amalekites and the Canaanites were up in the valley. Don't forget that. That's what's put in. This is God. He takes everything into consideration. You know, beloved, sometimes we make a fuss and a bother as though God didn't know what he was doing. God led them to that place. God took them there. God let them see the giants. God let them see the impossibilities. He took them there. You see? But their hearts just weren't equal to it. And they never had that other spirit with them that Caleb had. So did Joshua. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, what sort of a spirit have you got with you? Because as sure, beloved, if you are going to enter into your possessions and know everything and have everything that God has for you, it will only be by this other spirit. Not your own. Not your own spirit. It's good to have a spirit that's determined. Bless God. But you've got to have another spirit. Praise God. You know Jesus called him another comforter. He named it later on. Another comforter, he says. Another spirit. In other words, beloved, Caleb got his place, his possession, in his possession by the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a wonderful picture it is for us then, beloved. Okay? And you and I, beloved, by this great other spirit that God has given to us, we can indeed come into everything. It doesn't matter, beloved, what giants or what anything has been there before, it doesn't matter. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I want to emphasize this. I don't suppose it is any new theme to any of you in this room, but how many of us in this room are possessing the possessions that we ought to be in possession of? And how many of us anyway have got a spirit that would opt for some lush meadows like Manasseh and those that wanted to stop on the verdant flats on the verges of Jordan, where Jordan overflowed its banks and watered the whole of the countryside? They wanted to stop there where it was easy. Eh? How many? Do you realize that when people stop on the verdant verges where it's all so easy, they're always the places where the enemy comes first. They always come the easy way. They don't come over the mountains. Of course they don't. The safest places are the mountains. That's right. They always come on the easy approaches. Obviously they do. It's very lush there. Oh, but glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us have got this spirit about us that says that's the place? Praise God, that's the place for me. Ooh. Fancy an 85-year-old man taking the most difficult thing. Give me this mountain. Praise God. When Moses made that promise for God that every place that your sole of your foot treads upon, when God reiterated this thing to Joshua, old Caleb had already made up his mind. And God knew he had too. My servant Caleb, he said. Praise the name of God. You know, beloved, the fact of the matter is that our Lord Jesus lives on a Mount Zion. So you in the Bible. We come to Mount Zion. That's where he is. That's where all the spirits of the just men made perfect are. Yes. And God wants to bring us up into these places, beloved. And that Jesus has taken the whole of the land. And all you and I have to do is to see this particular possession that's ours and say, Lord, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. You say, by your grace and in your will and if you please or what you not. They're nice phrases to add. You can bring them all out of the Bible. But the phrase that God wants to hear is, Lord, I'm going to have it. That's right. That's what he wants to hear. Praise the Lord. This was what the Lord dealt with when he was on earth. Let me give you an illustration of it. He moved about amongst men and women, and he said, when this, he heard a voice yelling at him, one day he was walking along the road, yelling out, he stopped and had his voice, and now what do you want? I want my sight. He said, all right, that's yours. He didn't say, please, Lord, I beg your pardon for calling out here, and all that business. He said, what do you want? He said, I want my sight. That's right, then have it. See, that's right, you see. That's the approach. Glory be to God. That's the language that goes side by side with bloody Calvary. That's right. Nothing polite about Calvary. The great cries that rent everything on Calvary. He wants to hear some cries like that that get rending things coming from your heart. Amen. I want my sight. See? Give me this mountain. He's got, oh, please, Lord, do you think I might be permitted in your grace and by your goodness? And all this business. No. No. This is spirit talking to spirit, not genteel flesh talking to genteel flesh. It's something wonderful. I want this mountain. Handy. He took it. That's all there was in it. There's no fuss and bother. Oh, a bit of terrible fight. We laid siege for 49 days. We did this, that, and the other, you see. It said, that's true. That's it, and he took it. That's all there was in it. No fuss and pother and balava. That's not what the Lord was on about. The Lord does these tremendous things, beloved, to bring us into the reality of truth, that the Lord may put us down. Let's take this same sort of idea. You'll find it right through. We'll get into Joshua a bit. And let's look at Joshua in chapter 17. And it says, verse 14, the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? You see? Now, never make the mistake of thinking that because you've become a great person, you're a great people, you've had great blessings hitherto, fine, now's the time to sit down and enjoy it. Now get this thing right out of your head. Joshua answered them, all right, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, cut down to thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. See, this is the sort of assignment you get if you're a great people. See, he got a pal called Caleb at Joshua. He knew. 85-year-old man. Yes. If you're a great people, come on. You might be great at banging a tambourine and yelling your head off in a meeting. Come on. Let's see you do something. This is the way Jesus talks. This is right. Clapping your hands, don't frighten giants. Off Hebron. You understand that, don't you? They've heard all that before. Hallelujah. They clap their hands, they can clap louder than you. They're giants. The tremendousness about it, beloved, is this. He said, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee, and the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. Praise God. You see, they were prepared to call a mountain a hill. You see? You understand, don't you? This is the way. But this mountain, even Joshua called it a mountain. This is a hill. That's all. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You don't. What do you really think? Do you think a man named Hillary and a chap named Tensing had called these things round here mountains? Molehills. What? They've been up real mountains. We would call them mountains, Ben Nevis. You see, this is the idea, beloved, not in any sense of pride or to puff up, but you see, beloved, when you really have gone through somewhere, this is the thing I said the other day. I never got to hear this dear man von Braun, but I said, if a man suffered like he suffered, he's qualified to talk. That's right. He's got something to say. This is tremendousness about it. And the children of Israel said, this hill isn't enough for us. All the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth-shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. When Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, thou art a great people, hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. It is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. You see? That's the way the Lord Jesus talks to us, beloved. What a tremendous thing this is, to be in this place in the Spirit with the Lord, and see things as He wants us to see it, see them. Oh, I believe, beloved, that what we're needing in these days is people of this caliber. Jesus has taken this whole land for us. It's all done. You might say, well, if He's taken it and I believe it, how is it I'm not in all the possessions I should be in? Because, beloved, you've got to have that other spirit. You understand that these things are gifts of God. Canaan was the gift of God to these people. The land of promise for these people. But they had to possess personally, individually. Wasn't just given to them on a plate. You see? In that sense. And yet it was, as soon as old Caleb said, this mountain, no, any more trouble. So said, chariots of iron. That didn't make any difference. You've got to drive them out. The trouble with so many people that they don't possess their possessions as they should is that they do not see the seriousness of things. Let me put it to you this way. Let's go into the Judges. In the book of Judges, this is what it says. Listen. After reading about Caleb, we'll come back to him again in a moment. We're not through with him yet. We're setting the background. Caleb, in Judges chapter 1, comes again between verses 12 and 15. You see? Now we go down. Judah went with Simon, verse 17. Simeon, his brother, they slew the Canaanites, the inhabitants, Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. You see that? And they weren't. This is the trouble with some people. They seem to get up on the mountains, but down here, they can't drive out. They can't. See, let's go on. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said. You see how the Holy Ghost puts this thing there just to show it up per contra. And he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Glory! When he got up his Hebron. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Now listen, this is a very important section, the next one. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel, now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city. And they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword. But they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city, and called the name of it Luz. And he kept going the thing that was destroyed. Let's go back, shall we? We'll go back into the book of Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy, as you want to call it. And in the seventh chapter, this is how the Lord is speaking. You got it? 7 verse 1. When the Lord thy God, this is Moses talking, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, now listen, nor show mercy unto them. Now that's just what they did. They showed mercy to this man. They said, you show us the entrance into the city, we'll show you mercy. Seems like a humane thing to do. Seems the right thing to do. Seems the proper thing to do. You get all slobbery and sentimental about it. But it was sheer disobedience. Who would you say? What does the Lord want by God require? To love mercy? To show mercy? It's all on the tip of your tongue. Yeah? Seems so right. Back it up with scripture. Merciless, God says. They disobey God. What people do is show mercy where they should show no mercy. That's the trouble. In other words, to get their own way, instead of relying utterly on God, they try something else, you see. You show us the entrance to the city. But didn't our sister say how the Lord opened up the gates of the prison and showed her the way in there? That's in 1968. Or might have been 9, I don't know. 8, was it? That's what I thought it was. Seem to remember you talking about it 12 months ago. Not that same thing, but referring to the prison. You see? And he didn't need this. It's when, and this has always been the cause of trouble, beloved, we will not be ruthless where God tells us to be ruthless. We will be more merciful than God. We'll be better than God. We'll show that God's wrong. Instead of letting God alone know and question nothing, listen. Go back to that 7th chapter that we were reading. Thou shalt not make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. They will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. That's what they'll do if you show mercy on them. Anything that you spare will turn you ultimately to serve another God. And this is what happens. And this is why they don't possess their possessions. You see? And you've got, let's read the dreadful story, shall we? Go down, well, I'm back in Judges 1 again. 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. It came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites, dwelling in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Now, listen to the dreadful downfall of it all. I hope you're taking note very carefully of what's happening. There's degeneration here. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akkar, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Arlab, nor of Aksib, nor of Helbar, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. Now you see, higher up it was the Canaanites dwelling among them. Now it's them dwelling amongst the Canaanites. Here's the dreadful story. The inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath. But he dwelt among the Canaanites. There it is. See what it was? Before, there was a reference of the Canaanites dwelt among them. Now, it's them dwelling among the Canaanites that's emphasized. You see? The inhabitants of the land, nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath became tributaries unto them, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain. They would not suffer them to come down in the valley. Now, in a complete reversal. Now, that's what happens in people's lives. You talk about possessions and oppressions, and I don't know what. Here's the story. Yeah, glory. You give the devil an inch and he'll take a million miles. You concede one thing to him. Yeah, that's a lot. It's all right for a start. See, you can make it all pay tribute, make its contribution, and build up the economy, and establish the status quo. It all seems all right. Everybody else is doing it. Ephraim did it. Manasseh did it. Somebody else did it. They're all doing it. It's wonderful. Look at the money we're getting into the coffers, and I don't know what we're not doing, you see. But presently, beloved, presently, they'll force you up your mountain and they won't suffer you to do anything. You understand that? Yes. They won't suffer you to do anything. And where do the grapes of Eshcol grow? Down in the south there. See? Okay, let's see? You can keep your barren mountain tops, think you're nearer to God. We'll have the luscious fruit. Ooh, yes. Where you think you're nearer to God. It's a lot of nonsense. See? Praise the name of the Lord. You're in this great thing of God, beloved, that you should possess everything. Take nothing from the enemy. Concede him nothing. Let him have nothing. Show mercy to no one, God says. Long this life. I mean now the enemy. Whose satanic powers and things, nothing. Nothing. Let an 85-year-old man shame him. Somebody with another spirit. That's all. Got to go. Wholly follow the Lord my God, he could say. Praise God. And so when you read down through the book of Judges, beloved, and you see the terrible things that happened in the book of Judges, and it's one of the most terrible books in the Bible, the book of Judges, for atrocities, and some of the things that took place in they make you ashamed to read. Simply because someone, somewhere, started to say, I can't drive them out. That's how it started. I can't. And it gets to the place where they won't. They won't. Now, in no sense, beloved, is it the language of a Christian, a child that's born of God, and to be filled with Spirit, in no sense may they say, I can't. in this realm. They must not ever think along these lines. You see? And don't you think, oh, well, it's all very fine for these young fellows, got plenty of zest. The older you get, the stronger you ought to become in this life. The older. And it's a wonderful thing. And you know, beloved, it's a wonderful truth here. This man, Caleb, he knows the great incentives. Let's look at it this way. We're in the first chapter of Judges. We could read it back in Joshua, if you like. Caleb said, verse 12, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksar, my daughter, to wife. Praise God. Now, this is wonderful. The old man knew that the best thing to do is to give incentives. Give incentives. Hallelujah. But it would be a good thing, beloved, if we were made to win everything as we should. Things not given us on a plate. Praise God, he said. If anybody will do this, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, or Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. He gave him Aksar, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a sound land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Hallelujah. I sometimes wonder whether the brook didn't run from there, but ran through the valley. You see? Where the grapes grew. Praise the name of the Lord. There are incentives, beloved, in all these great things of God. You see, the mountain, fields, the southland. If you read back in Numbers, you will find that they approach this through that southland. Through that southland, that warm, lovely slope into that valley where, with the stream running from those two springs, the upper and the nether spring, fed the waters. It was a gorgeous place. You see? She got this. And she says, I want the upper and the nether springs. Hallelujah. Have you got the upper and the nether springs? Have you got the upper and the nether springs? Have you? The upper springs? What do I know about the upper springs? Well, they're the living fountains of waters in God, into which I am. And the nether spring is the spring that wells up inside me, down here on the earth. You've got to have them both. You've got to know what it is to be led into and pass into those living fountains of waters, those upper springs, darling, from whence that eternal river of the water of life flows. But I know it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You've got to be at the glorious center of God. You've got to know the springs of His eternal being. And the springs of eternal being in you have got to be the same down here on this earth. You understand that? That I am an eternal being. Hallelujah. I've been given life. Oh, praise God. The river that flows along through this, beloved, it will produce the most luscious fruit. And you, if you're not careful, you'll let some gigantic thing cheat you out of it. Cheat you out of it. That's not got to be. She says to Caleb, "Father, give me a present. Give me a present." That's your word, blessing it is. Margin will probably give it to you. Give me a present. What do you want? That's what I want, Father. I want that. I want the living water, the water of my field. That's what I want. I want this glorious, luscious, fertile southland. This field of glory. And you know, beloved, we can move the heart of God in these things. We can move the heart of God. God's not hard to be moved. Our sister was referring to, didn't want to say things to certain people because it would reveal their hardness of heart. I know exactly what she means. That's why I hold my tongue in many situations. To certain, you'll know the hardness of heart that will be revealed. The opposite spirit. The reverse thing. That's right. She's learning a lot. Bless God. This is the way. But God's not hard to be moved. You can move God as easy as that. He's the easiest person in the world to move. And listen, if you know how to move God, you know how to shift giants. That's right. This is what it was said to that man of old, "As a prince hast thou power with God and with man." And listen, where do you think that was said? And where do you think that man went? Did you know that Hebrews is associated with Jacob? Did you know that? Did you know that? See, you when you come to these things in Scripture, you must take the time and trace it backwards and forwards in the Bible. You must know what it's all about. Look at its history. Do you know, listen, that's where Abraham dwelt. Abraham, Oaks of Mamre. The Plains of Mamre. Which just did that. He built an altar in heaven. Oh, the man that received the promises, you see, an old Caleb and his daughter and son-in-law were fulfilling the promises made to Abraham. Give me this mountain. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Open your mouth and talk with God. I don't say boast. Get a spirit about you, beloved, who knows that you'll be fulfilling the glorious promises of Jesus. Hey, who knows that you'll be just doing what is a fulfillment of a desire in the heart of your blessed Lord. That's what you're to do. And that's what you're here for. In his land. You don't know. If you'll only go forward and do what God wants you to do. Let me give you another great instance of this in this first chapter of the book of Judges. Listen. Judah went up, verse 4. Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites. That's where it should be pronounced. Perizzites. Into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek. 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Now that's what they did. Now they didn't know what they were doing, but that's what they did. Because they were moving as God wanted them to move. Now look, and Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat like dogs under his table. As I have done, so God has requited me. They were fulfilling and they were requiting. You see, they didn't know. If you, beloved, and I, now, God, thank God we're not living in these bloodthirsty days or anything like that. But here, the point is made. If you and I will go through and do what God moves us to do, if we'll start going in the Spirit, we'll find that we shall be fulfilling judgments and promises and desires. You see, it's a land of promise we're in, and you can't go wrong. But do get this great Spirit about you. Give me this mountain. Amen. And what did he want this mountain for? What did he want this mountain for? He was an old man. Well, for certainly he could give it to his offspring, pass it on. What do you want, Exar? I want this, Father. Give me a blessing there. It's yours. What have you got to pass on to your offspring? Our sisters got to have something to pass on to these spiritual offspring, these children, that she says, that where they come from, hallelujah, come from the womb of God. That's where they've come from. You don't have to make any big inquiries about that. But she's got to be able to give them the upper and the nether springs. Of course she has, and she will. Of course she will. We've all got to, beloved. You don't want anything for yourself. What do you take a mountain for? Those are the spirit will take it. That's a thing to pass on to your offspring. That glorious spirit about you goes for it. He didn't say, Lord, lead me up the mountain. He says, give it me, I'll go up there. You see, the others, nice poetry. We sing it. It's all right. Fits in with a nice sentimental approach, you see. But he didn't say, Lord, lead me up the mountain. And when they went to Jesus, because Joshua is Jesus, when they went to Jesus, the sons of Joseph, they said, so, all right, go on in. That wood. Oh, Lord, Joshua, lead me. Go on, take that wood. You see? That's right. You see? You're a great people, are you? You've got great power. So you have got great power. Go on. You've got it. That's right. You see that? Wonderful. It takes an 85-year-old man to show us. But he knew. He knew. And he could pass on. And as the years went by, he walked down that old valley. I don't know how much longer he lived. See? And they still gathered the lovely clusters, the wonderful grapes. Yes, Lord, it's all mine. It's my exiles too. It's all for you too. Bless you. What could you want more than that? Eh? But you see, the tragedy is exile and offering. You've got to pass it on. I wonder if they did. I just wonder. So then, beloved, Now get on with it. Get on with it. You're in the land. And you know you've got some giants, haven't you? You've got some things that won't shift. They won't shift. They won't go. So you say. Now, just because you know Mrs. Jones or Mr. Smith or you know a company of people that are quite like that, so you get with them and you say, now they understand me. Oh, we like these understanding people. We like to pour our troubles into one another. Yeah, this must be very understanding. Now, if you want to get understanding, get alongside Caleb. That's right. Don't get with these people that say, I can't move them. I can't shift it. It's terrible. And they won't go. And you see, never get with us. Never get with us. Unless you go with them to say, come on, glory, I got to go. Amen. Now, Judah, you might need Simeon to help you. It's quite right. You should get Simeon to help you if you feel so weak. But better be a Caleb now. Better be a Caleb. There are stages of this. If you can go up all alone, hallelujah, praise God, you'll be that strong man that God wants you to be. See? Alone. Well, there's too much of this individualism and going alone. It's body ministry we want. See what the body did? Did you see what the body did? Oh, okay, let me go. Now we must have body ministry. We've got them all. You see. I'll ask you a question. Was it body ministry that started it all? Was it body ministry? You ask yourself the question. If they'd have waited for body ministry, would there ever have been a church? There never would. There was a fear. There was a pause. No, Barnabas. Men that went through with God. If you keep waiting for the body, if you keep waiting for someone else, never get there. You gotta go through glory. Get up that mountain then. Hallelujah. Clear your own mountain first. That's right. Clear your own mountain before you start wanting to help other people. Too many people involved in wanting to get other people delivered and free and haven't cleared their own mountain. Lots and lots of people, they think they're called to deliverance ministry. It's got to do this, that, and the other. I mean, they haven't cleared their own mountain. You see, I didn't say we're to help any lame dog over a stile. Of course we are. We help all we can. But oh, beloved, we got to go through with God. I am this mountain. Whose mountain? Mine. I am my eye on that from the beginning. Mine. And what God set your eye on at the beginning, my beloved, if God set your eye on it, go and get it done. Stop running up other people's mountains. Down other people's valleys. Go and get it dealt with. That's the order of God. That's the order of God. See? Did Jesus ask you to run up his mountain? Did he? He never did. When I'm on it alone, he says, you can't come well. See, everybody's got his own job to do. Jesus had his job to do. See, you've got yours to do. See you do it, man. The others waffle. And you can go and do it. And you've got to do it. And if you've got this other spirit about you, if you've got this other spirit, and you know perfectly well in your heart that these things have no shadow in them. In other words, you've got your eye on God and Him alone. And the Holy Ghost is with you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing. You believe that. Go to Joshua and say, Lord, I want this life. And you know what Moses said. Praise God. Yeah. Do you believe that? All right, now go and get it. Possess your possessions. Go through. Look to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have a quiet time with the Lord.